also present a self-esteem workshop, and I love and relate to your theories about self-esteem. Can you elaborate a little bit on those?
Yeah. So for those workshops, where I draw from is the early years of my engaging my inner artist, if you will, awakening the dreamer in order to truly engage in my singing and my songwriting and my pursuit of art. And so the workshops really focus on investing in the dreamers in our young people. We, as I said, we grew up in environments that are so effectively institutionalized that we just wait for programs to be, you know, piloted or facilitated, and very little investment in, and now it's changing. There's a lot more investment now in cultural inclusion. And when we do this and we make it inclusive, we open up our hearts, I believe, to giving ourselves permission to explore other areas, getting the courage to become dreamers. And we need to invest more in this. And what this does is it allows our young people and children to find courage to believe in themselves by allowing them to explore this emotion that is opened up by dreaming. Dreaming is not this willy-nilly cloud in the sky thing. It actually does feed something deeper in our soul that we have neglected. And so the workshop, self-esteem workshop, begin with exploring, if you wanted this thing in your life, how would you go about pursuing it? And we're opening up this want, a healthy want and desire. And that's your dream. That's you as a dreamer. And slowly as you engage this, you become a bit more confident. You become a bit more stronger and want more to pursue the thing you really truly want and set goals to pursue that. So self-esteem, I really believe, sets us on a path of awakening the dreamer.
Amongst your myriad awards and accomplishments, you are the first Inuk artist to win a Juno Award, and you've won 3 of them, as well as the Governor mm-hmm. General's Performing Arts Award for Lifetime Artistic Achievement. You've held command performances for Queen Elizabeth II twice, as well as for 2 prime ministers, Governor General Adrian Clarkson and Nelson Mandela, amongst others. And you've been awarded the Governor General's Order of Canada. Such an amazing list of accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Which of these experiences meant the most to you personally?
I have to say, meeting Nelson Mandela. You know, when I left home and I moved to Ottawa, I hadn't even dared to dream or wish for something better in my life. I just needed to change my personal circumstances. And then when all of this starts to happen and you have this knowledge base of what's out there in the world in terms of change makers and powerful people like Nelson Mandela and their histories and their stories and the work they had done and were doing. And they're just stories in your background, and you hear them and you see them and you just never think you might actually get to meet them one day. Well, this happened for me, and I was just in awe that the opportunity was there and that it actually came to fruition, that I could sit there and shake hands with Nelson Mandela was just a powerful moment for me. So I would have to say that was right up there. The other one that I've always been stunned by was, the chance to meet Billy Graham in person many, many years ago. Again, that was one of those moments I never imagined I would ever have the opportunity to do. So those two were right up there for me.
You are the founder and chair of the Arctic Rose Foundation. Can you tell me about your work with that organization?
Mm-hmm. So the mandate of the Arctic Rose Foundation is to create safe emotional, physical, cultural, spiritual safe spaces and emotional safe spaces. And having grown up in small town environment and having done a lot of work in these environments and reserves as well, we understand that pretty much everything that is a basic necessity in our lives is in crisis. And so I struggled when I decided to pursue charitable status. I struggled to pick one area to work in, and I was very fortunate to get a very broad mandate. And so what I've started with under this mandate is quote unquote art therapy that we offer in the form of a culture connection art program after school, 3:30 to 5 every day. We've been given access to a space in a high school in Rankin Inlet, one of our Nunavut communities. And we've had participants who have come to utilize the space that we've created for them for its intended purpose. They're very, very bright young participants who understand that the space is safe emotionally, physically, spiritually, and culturally. And here you can explore culture and family connections and turn what you discover into art. And the intention really is to give them an outlet to control or to get ahead of the results of being bullied, the results of being physically abused, violently abused, in some cases sexually abused. It's just a space where they don't need quote-unquote therapy, but they need a space where they can just be, and it's there consistently for them, and it is assigned programming, so they're not there just to draw for an hour. They're part of a program that is organized and themed, and they're responding really well to this. So that's one part that we're exploring. We're moving on to other areas in the upcoming school year. So as a need arises, if a program doesn't exist, we will figure out a program or create a program that is culture-specific for the participants. And it's essentially art therapy, but culture-specific art therapy.
What a remarkable and valuable initiative.
Mm-hmm. It's very exciting, yes.
I'd like to take us out with your song, OCM, which was the first by an Inuk artist to reach number one on the Canadian charts. What was your inspiration for that song?
Well, in the early part of my career, I really was struggling with a sense of identity. I knew in some part of me that this career in its early years was very foreign to me, and I didn't know how to belong to it. I was dealing with my own personal issues, and so I was dealing with a few other things that were in crisis. And so I met a couple of men from the Coast Salish Nation, from the West Coast, BC. And they did this thing. They welcomed and honored the audience. And I was so humbled and touched by this gesture. And it just very simply reminded me that whatever we set out to do, it can't ever be about a single story about one person, that whatever work we do, whatever opportunities we're given, it has to embrace family and community and culture. And so it was inspired by that very single moment where I was grounded by that gesture and these words into what became the rest of the career. So it truly has a big meaning for me.
A very beautiful and inspirational song. Susan, thank you so much for joining me for Indie Beat. I've been so excited to speak with you.
Thank you, May.
I don't even have words to express how much this has meant to me.
Thank you, May. I'm so glad it worked out.
Because they try and watch you fall.